Hello, folks, and welcome to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. Here we're going to be talking about all things baseball, all things Alabama baseball. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon Mraz.
I'm Hannah Hammonds.
Now I'm Cooper Eske.
So we're going to get right into it here. Great start off to the season for Alabama baseball. We are now 11-0.
12-0.
I'm bad with numbers, y'all, okay? Anyway, we're 12-0.
I love to see it, though.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're 12-0. This is the best start since 2002, I believe. Second best start in school history. So, we just want to start by recapping some of the games we've had. So, to start off the season, we had a solid series with Northeastern. Offense was really the story of that series, I would say. And freshman offense was the story of that series.
Owen Diodati. That's the name you need to remember. He is a freshman who hits bombs.
Owen Diodati in the first game hit a home run that I'm pretty sure still hasn't landed yet. That thing was a shot. I mean, it almost hit Coleman. Now,
John Petty called it at basketball practice.
That is very true.
It's kind of what tenderized his arm, so that's what injured him in Mississippi State.
Yeah. You
know, that ball injured the arm in Mississippi State. Was just the finishing blow.
Yeah, I mean, quick sidebar here, but Mississippi State is going to be excommunicated from the SEC for injuring so many players in different sports, but we'll talk about that later. That's not a problem. Anyway, first game, 10-0. Second game, 8-0. Third game, 6-3.
That's what I want to talk about was the defense and the pitching. I mean, two shutouts to start off the season, then only three runs in the last game, so only giving up three runs through the whole series.
Yeah,
we talked about this offense, but that pitching and defense was there too.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. And a lot of the defense came from freshman pitcher Connor Prelip. I'm just going through his stats right now. He's 3-0 right now. His ERA is 0. He's got 15 innings pitched. He's let up 3 hits in his 3 starts, and he's racked up 24 strikeouts.
It's impressive for a freshman, for it to be this early in the season.
Not to mention, he started the first game of the season. The first collegiate game he's starting for Alabama. And that, you know, that shows a lot for Coach Bohannon and the trust he has and the guys that he's brought in for this year, but also just the confidence and the skill that Connor Prelip has on the mound. Like, it's unmatched. He's pitching well. And not to say that anyone else isn't pitching well. I mean, we still have 5 more pitchers with a 0 ERA. Tyler Roz just also up there, you know.
Well, Prelip really is, well. He hasn't given up a home run this season either.
Yeah. Prelip is something else.
I mean, you said only 3 hits.
Yeah.
And a whip of 0.6.
Yeah, and you know.
And that's not a reliever. That's a starter.
Yeah.
He's pitched 15 innings.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
I mean, 100%, I would agree. He's a workhorse, man. He's an absolute workhorse. He's got a great, great curveball. The thing's got a lot of movement. When I watched this past weekend at Harvard on Friday, and you know, I got to sit behind the plate for a little bit, and just he was making hitters just look absolutely foolish. I mean,
I would agree with you.
He's got great stuff. So let's just continue on some of the games we had. So we played Alabama State at home, 10-3 win. You know. Pretty good game.
A lot of young guys got to play in that game.
Yeah, you know, just a good midweek game to get people into the lineup, into the rotation.
That'll be the story for all these midweek games as they come about. It's just freshmen getting the chance to shine and see what they can do against smaller teams.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with you. I think a lot of the freshmen are now starting to hit their stride. One person I really want to talk about is Jim Jarvis. We got to say, his batting stance a little awkward, but the contact he makes with the ball is just incredible. I mean, every time he hits the ball, it's going somewhere hard. If he gets out, he gets out, but it's coming off the bat.
I know I've made
fast.
The comment to you. I don't see how he does that well inside the box standing like that.
Yeah. It's amazing to see how he takes such a weird approach at a stance, but just is so successful at the plate. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Juan Carlos Stanton's stance. You know, it's not as closed off, but it's very awkward in the way that it is. But he's just been able to be very successful in the past 12 games. So And then obviously we have our seasoned vets, Tyler Gentry. You know, coming into the season, we knew he was going to be a big piece in the success of this team. He's batting 450. He's leading the team in that. He's got several RBIs. You know, he's got 13, which doesn't lead the team because Owen Diodati, again, the star of the team so far, is just hitting balls out left and right. But Gentry just, you know, really coming up to the plate and making the most out of his at-bats. So, you know, is there anyone else you guys wanted to talk about?
Sam Prater. Right there. I mean, he's hitting 421, four home runs, tied with Owen Diodati for most home runs on the team. He's also killing it.
This is one that I've been most excited about since the start of the season because he's coming off of a Tommy John surgery, and usually it takes a while to get back in your rhythm after having a surgery like that, missing an entire season. And he started off rough in the first series, but he quickly found his groove.
Yeah, I would agree. So I want to go to the next series because a lot of these teams starting out in college baseball are undefeated, but they've either played in some neutral site games and been at home, haven't really gotten battle tested on the road yet. Alabama took a trip out to Las Vegas for a weekend, played a doubleheader on Friday, won both of those games, and then came back on Sunday in Vegas to win again. For me, that just shows the maturity of this team. It's, you know, no matter what level of baseball you're playing, a doubleheader after, you know, a trip, regardless if that's a bus trip or a plane trip, is a very, very tough thing to do. And going into the series, with Prelip on the mound, wasn't really worried about this first game, but the second game I was a little worried about. You know, it's a night start. It was 7 o'clock local time in Las Vegas, which is, I believe, 9 o'clock here or 8 o'clock here. So late game start. But they came out and they did it. And I think that's one of the things we need to look forward to is these kids are ready to play anywhere.
And being able to stay focused in a place like Las Vegas when there's so many distractions and things that, you know, take your mind off the game a little bit, that's huge for them to be able to go in there with that kind of drive and maturity and be able to get the job done on the road.
Not to mention that second game, I mean, down the whole game, we come out in the ninth inning and, you know, put a couple runs up and, you know, come out, close the game out. It's, you know, it's a great come from behind win. So, you know, I think that series shows a lot of promise for further in the season when we have to go to places such as like LSU and Mississippi State and some other tougher places. Not to say that we would sweep those series, but you know, definitely can stay focused.
Yeah, we'd be ready.
Yeah.
We'd be ready to play, got the game face on, and just get out there and do your best.
Hey, if we can win in Vegas, we can win in Stark Vegas, right? I mean, like,
that's right.
That's how it works.
Right? Right? Nope. It's a hard place to play.
Listen, Mississippi State, they got some players, and they got a really good culture down there. So, you know, that's definitely going to be a hard one. But, you know, with how we're going right now, there really isn't any question for me yet. We're going to be tested with Missouri coming up on spring break, and I'll be interested to see how that series goes just because the students aren't going to be here. It's, you know, it's kind of a weird
first
weekend.
SEC match,
yeah.
Too.
So that'll be interesting. But finally, we want to recap the last series. So we just played Harvard. Harvard started their season down here in Tuscaloosa on Friday. First game was a massacre. 15-3, and again, Prelip on the mound, threw six innings scoreless, one hit, and just, you know, an absolute great outing. We scored 15-3, no home runs. We did not hit a home run at all in that game, you know, so.
That just shows you that Harvard either had really bad defense or we were absolutely crushing it at the plate.
Well, Owen Diodati did tied the school record with most walks in the game with 5. So, you know.
Yeah, you do what you got to do to win.
Win's a win, right?
Yeah, play some small ball.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next game, Saturday game, absolute thriller. Bama goes down early, 5-3. Believe it was 6th or 7th inning. You know, we come up to the plate, get the bases loaded, get some people on base, and then we bunt. Which you would think is just like a sacrifice bunt, but no. Somehow Harvard turned into a little league team, and we got an inside the park grand slam.
Colby Robinson.
That, you know, that play was just, it was one of those things where you're watching it and you're like, this can't be happening. And then the next thing happens, you're like, no. And then the next thing happens, you're like, all right, well, take it.
You know? I was watching this game with my dad and he was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did this really happen?
Yeah.
They just turned, like you said, into a little league team.
Yeah.
Throwing the ball away left and right.
But we needed it. This game actually kind of made me nervous. I mean, we were down 3-2 heading into the bottom of the eighth inning. And so I'm glad we kind of turned it around and took advantage of some Harvard errors. But I was kind of nervous that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Tide came out on Sunday, you know, early 10:30 game. Props to them, props to the team for coming out to play that
That's
early.
An early start.
Really early start. Not a lot of people were there until later in the game. So, you know, props to them for coming out after a hard-fought game on Saturday, coming out real early, you know, coming out to play. I'll tell you what, the closing pitchers for us. Chase Lee.
The Viper.
Yeah, the kid just has ice in his veins, honestly. You know, he's pitching well, comes out, just closes out games for us, and he's just a hard worker. You know, he does have a 3.86 ERA. Fine. That's fine. You know, but he's pitching well. He's got 9 strikeouts, you know. And not to mention, you know, Dylan Smith also came in a couple series now and has closed out a couple series. He's pitching. Honestly, I'm very impressed with how we pitched so far. You know, as you look at the scores, no one's really put up big numbers on us. I think the most has been 5 in a game. That's really good.
I feel like we're going to be pretty solid on the mound this season, which is something that we have kind of lacked in the past couple of seasons, not being able to go deep into our rotation and get the job done.
Right.
So this is something I like seeing early on because that gives me hope for the end of the season.
Right.
When SEC play starts, and that's when it's really going to matter.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we're just showing we're showing really good on the mound.
Yeah, mound presence is great. Our presence in the batter's box troubles me just a little bit. Just a little bit. Like that Harvard game, we had to come back in the bottom of the eighth inning. Middle Tennessee, we were also down quite a bit, and that was a midweek game. And so there have just been spots where I'm like, maybe we're not so solid. But, you know, our pitching's been good so that we're not down too terribly.
Yeah, I would agree. One thing I want to touch on before we go to break quick, one person that's kind of really stood out to me that maybe isn't getting a lot of recognition, but Brett Auerbach's play all around has been fantastic. Brett? Let's dive into Brett for real quick. Brett plays center field and catches for us. And a lot of the times, it's in the same game. And he plays a little bit of third. And honestly, his play all around has just baffled me. He, you know, he's hitting well, he's fielding well. And he's kind of one of those guys in the lineup, he's our leadoff hitter, where he comes up and you just know he's going to get a hit. And he's been pretty solid with that. I mean, he's got 16 hits so far. You know, 3 home runs. He's in 9 RBIs. And that's just a solid play. He's a good workhorse for us. He's made a lot of great defensive plays, I would say, and just all around, I think he has been kind of unrecognized on our team, but has definitely played up to the level that's needed to succeed in the SEC this year. Is there anyone else that kind of stood out to you guys so far?
Brett Auerbach also had a home run on Saturday during the Harvard series.
Yeah, that was a much-needed home run.
He's doing well, and you don't see many catchers and center fielders out there, so that'll be interesting to see how we use them later in the season, just, you know, changing positions. But other than that, I think we've highlighted everybody in the batting order that, you know, needs to be highlighted.
Absolutely. All right, well, we're going to take a break. Go get yourself a drink, maybe a snack or two. We're going to be back talking more Alabama and SEC baseball.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Okay, welcome back to the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. You know, we just got done talking about some freshman success and how we've done so far, being 12-0. So we're going to look to the future with the next couple games coming up for us. We're going to start out with today, actually, when we're recording. We play South Alabama at home. Cooper, let's hear your thoughts on South Alabama.
Yeah, we're taking on the USA. That's not the USA baseball team, thankfully, as the South Alabama Jaguars. Again, this is a midweek game. I think this is a very winnable game. Definitely one where we get a lot of freshmen in, see what they can do, and just work everything out.
Yeah, would definitely agree. Hannah, what are you thinking about this next coming game here?
I love that we play them midweek, but I also think this is one of those games that would be a huge win for us, considering that South Alabama is a good baseball team. Granted, their record is 7-6 thus far, but I think this is one that we need to win.
Yeah, I think it's kind of misconstrued with a lot of other sports where you hear undefeated, and Alabama's a good baseball team, but there's a lot of good baseball teams that are not undefeated. So
Mississippi State, for example.
Right. Mississippi, it's all about scheduling. It's all about who you play. But baseball is that kind of funny sport where any day anyone can win. And with the season being so long and playing the same team, three times, it's very easy to drop a game. And not to say that if you lose, you're a bad team. It's just there's a lot of good teams out there. South Alabama is one of those good teams. I think we're going to need to rely on the offense to keep rolling.
For sure.
I think a couple freshmen who are going to maybe like get their time in the next few games, Peyton Wilson, who's batting 500 right now.
He also just got SEC Freshman of the Week.
Right. He's playing great. I think he'll get some time in this game. He's one of those people that I can definitely see next year being a significant factor, and even this year, but just with the depth chart and where he is, not as standout as this year. But there's a lot to see from him. He's a good player, and he's going to be a force next year and this year. So I think the South Alabama, this game is going to be a good one for us. It's going to be a good test to see how we are. With the weather being like right now, if we actually play, we'll see.
The rain's supposed to hold off for a little bit this evening, but given that it basically flooded last night, right, the field may not be in the best condition to play today.
Yeah, so we'll definitely see if we get the opportunity to play South Alabama. So we'll start it off with Cooper. Cooper, score predictions.
Score prediction, 8-3.
Ooh, okay, 8-3 Alabama.
8-3 Alabama.
I like it.
5-2 Bama.
Ooh. I'm going to go a little different here. As hot as our offense has been, I think it's going to be close. I think we're going to get a nice, good old-fashioned 3-0 ball game.
Ooh.
Yeah. With the freshmen coming in, not to say that they're not going to hit well, South Alabama's a good team. I think it's going to take a little bit of adjustment during the game, and I don't see us really doing anything offensively until the fourth or fifth inning. And then at that point, we're going to just be in lockdown mode, trying to just keep it how it is. So I'm sticking with 3-0. So our next game we play the next day, North Alabama.
Moving from the south to the north.
Right, yeah.
And these North Alabama Lions, they're 3-9.
Not the best.
Not the best, and they haven't played the best either. They were swept by Northwestern State. They lost 2 to Little Rock, Arkansas. So this is just going to be a nice walk in the park.
Yeah.
In the ballpark.
Yeah.
But if we get to play it, rain is a huge factor.
Yes.
All week for like our midweek games.
Yeah. For some reason, the Alabama weather really wants to keep us away from playing those midweek games. The weekend's been gorgeous, and then apparently we just...
Midweek,
we
it's
need
rough.
To flood the field every week, apparently. I totally agree. This is going to be a good little freshman, get a lot of time game. Score predictions?
8-2 again.
All right.
Good 10-0.
I'm going to say 15-3.
Ooh.
Listen, I sat through that Harvard game. I didn't sit through. I watched that Harvard game on Friday. And for us to put, like, it'd be different if we had hit, a couple home runs. But we put up 15 runs without getting a home run. That's impressive.
It really is.
You're hitting the ball well at that point. So, and you're being selective at the plate. So I'm going to go 15-3. Because you never know. I mean, listen, that Harvard game, I thought it was going to be 15-0. That kid from Harvard cleared the pitch clock in center field, which...
That's impressive.
That's impressive. A shot. So you never know who's on these teams, who can do what. So I'm going to say 15-3. And then we're going on a little tour through Alabama here, apparently, according to our schedule. So the next weekend series we got is Lipscomb. Cooper?
Lipscomb has had a pretty impressive season. 8-2. They won 2 against Ohio State.
Good team.
A really good team, which makes them a good team. I'm a little nervous. I think this may be the series where we drop our first game.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. I'm kind of nervous about it as well. That it's only a matter of time before we drop off our first one.
It really is. I mean, it'd be great if we can just go perfect until SEC play because...
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Because we all know how tough the SEC schedule is going to be. But honestly, I think if we lose a game, it'll be during this series.
Here's my thing. I don't think we're going to lose a game until SEC play. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Like, we talk about maybe the offense falling off or whatnot, but our starting three pitchers have a 0 ERA all the way through.
It's great. It's awesome.
Prelip on the mound on Friday is going to be a force again. So I think that one's a win. Saturday, you know, I like us on Saturdays. We play hard on Saturdays. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because student section gets a little rowdy. It's 2 p.m. Everybody's having a good time. It's a nice day. But I like the Saturday game. And Sunday might be the one that we can drop, but I still think with the 11 a.m. start, I think it's another win for us.
Sundays are the days that we start slow and somehow in the end find our way back.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And that's the trend that makes me nervous. I feel like against Lipscomb, we will start slow again because it's Sunday morning. You're supposed to be in church. And, you know, Lipscomb gets a couple of runs on you and then you can't climb out of it. So, to me, Sunday is the game where we drop our first one.
All right. Well,
sorry to be the rain cloud, the Debbie Downer, but...
All right. Well, let's go into score predictions for these three games really quick. Then we'll get to UAB, and then we'll talk a little bit of SEC after that. So, Cooper, give me some score predictions all the way through. All
right. So, Friday, we'll get a nice win, 7-1. Saturday, even better win, maybe 9-3. And then Sunday, we lose 4-5. 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth, but it's not enough.
Okay.
It's a heartbreaker.
All right.
I'm going to agree with his first prediction. This second game of the series, I'm going to go 15-3.
Ooh.
And Sunday, I don't want to put this out here that we're going to lose, but I'm going to also agree with Cooper, 4-5.
See, here's this is what I'm going. I'm going 8-2 the first day.
All right.
I'm going to go 10-0 on Saturday. I just have a feeling right field's going to be rowdy. We're going to be ready to go. Sunday, we're going to win a nice 5-0 ball game.
Okay.
Ready to go into Regents Field on Tuesday to play UAB. Still undefeated.
All right.
And we're going to preview this UAB game right now. So UAB, Hannah, you want to touch upon UAB a little bit? So UAB is just, you know, they're a good team. I think it's going to be tough. We're playing in Birmingham. We don't get the Capital City Classic this year.
I'm upset about that, by the way.
Hannah might be a little mad. That's kind of why she didn't comment on it either, because she knows that this is replacing that. But, again, Regents Field, I think we're going to be ready to go. I don't see any problems there. And then that brings us right to right to Missouri for SEC play.
Yeah. We disagree about that Lipscomb game. I think that's the only game that we might lose. So we're either going to have one loss or zero losses coming into Missouri. All
right, quick score predictions for UAB.
7-1 again.
Okay.
6-2.
I'll go 7-1. All right, so after that, we get into SEC play with Missouri. We won't forecast that far, but we just want to talk a little bit about the SEC. So as I'm pulling up the standings here for SEC, there's a... It's a new face on the top of the SEC West, 12-0 Alabama team.
It's one we don't see very often.
No, it's not. Again, you never know with baseball.
I'm shocked with the bottom of the West, though. Those two surprised me.
Those three, Arkansas is a good team too.
Very true.
Yeah, so the last three are Arkansas, Mississippi State, and LSU.
Right.
And an LSU team who lost to basically a Division II school.
Yeah, Nichols, I think it's called.
Yes.
Well, let's take a look at LSU. So LSU's schedule so far, they played an Indiana team. They took two games out of three. They lost on Saturday in a doubleheader. Then they lost to Nichols, which, for any listener out there, if you want to email us and tell us where Nichols is, that'd be great, because I don't know.
I think it's somewhere in Georgia, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. And then they lose to Eastern Kentucky in a series. And then they play two good teams in Baylor and Oklahoma and lose those both, Oklahoma being 16th ranked, so you can't really fault them there. Like Mississippi State here, just also baffling. They're, again, like we said, they're a good team. I don't see them having any trouble when it comes to SEC play, but they lose to Oregon State at home. They lose to Texas Southern at home. Two questionable losses. Then they travel to 21st ranked Long Beach State. Long Beach State is actually going to be a really good team, and you're definitely going to have to look out for them in the College World Series. So, you know, that's another one you can't really fault them for. But
Mississippi State dropped two games to Long Beach State.
Yeah,
but Long Beach has a lot of alumni in the big league right now, so I can't really fault them on that.
Long Beach State's going to be a good team. Arkansas, I'm not worried about. Three losses. They're also one of those good teams. They lost to their three losses are to 16th ranked Oklahoma, 22nd ranked Texas, and Baylor. Three really good Big 12 teams that are going to be good this season.
To backtrack a little bit, Nichols is in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, so I was
definitely
way off.
Didn't practice outside before that.
Definitely
game
not.
Either.
That could be.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That is a very tough one.
And then, you know, we would be remiss not to highlight the mishap on Auburn's schedule so far, because we are an Alabama podcast, and that is what we enjoy to do here at Alabama. Auburn loses to UCF, gets swept. Now, it's not a bad loss. UCF is 15th ranked. But, we got to bring it up. We have to bring it up.
You have to.
We'd love to see it.
Right. You do love to see it, because Auburn is 10-3 and Alabama is 12-0. Simple as that.
It was in Auburn, too.
Yeah, it was a home series. They got pummeled on Sunday, too. 12-2.
How do you lose at home? Especially since I know Auburn brings out a good crowd to their games.
I agree with that, but at the same time, you know, UCF is a good baseball team. They're a very good baseball team. So, and then we'll shift our focus to the East to a couple teams we play. Vanderbilt, reigning national champs, 10-3. No worries there. Not at all. They're going to be good. They're always good. They're always there. Nothing to worry about. Tennessee, 12-0. Haven't really played on the road, though, so we'll definitely see when they come down to Tuscaloosa to play us how that's going to fare. And then the team that's really everyone's talking about this year, Florida.
Ranked number one.
They're good.
They're good.
They're a good ball club. 11-0, four wins on the road. And looking at their schedule now, you just can't help but be a little impressed. I mean, they swept number 9 Miami. They swept a Troy team that Alabama plays later in the season. They beat Marshall, who's actually got a really good baseball program. No real shorthanded wins here. Nothing to, kind of scoff at.
Really good wins, but a really tough schedule coming up.
They play
number 14 Florida State, and then their first SEC series is with number 3 Georgia.
Thank God we don't play Georgia this year.
Thankfully.
We kind of escaped Florida and Georgia this year, which is going to be huge for us.
We kind of struggled with Georgia last season, so I'm glad to see that one's not on our regular season.
That's kind of how the SEC is shaking out. We're definitely going to have to see after these non-leaguers finish up. So we're going to take another break quick. Don't go too far. We're going to be talking a little bit of MLB when we get back.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Hey, this is Andrew.
This is David.
We're the Revivalists. You're listening to 90.7, The Capstone.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Right Field Roundtable. So now we're going to go into what everyone in baseball has been talking about for God knows how long at this point. Let's just talk about the MLB in a whole, with the Astros scandal, the possible playoffs, everything like that. Cooper, why don't you start us off?
Well, I think it's summed up perfectly in this new Twitter account I've been following, and I hope you two are following it, and I hope all of our listeners are following it. It's called the 2020 Astros Shame Tour.
I'm not following it, but I'm fixing to be.
Need to follow it right now. I'm going to give them a quick little plug. I don't know who it is, but they have made it their mission for that this whole season. Anytime an Astros player is hit by a pitch, they will record it and post it on their account. And
then they posted one 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, 2 minutes ago.
There
you go.
2 minutes ago.
Who got hit?
It's just Bregman grounding into a double play.
Either way, anything bad that happens to the Astros will be tweeted on this account for this season, and it is one of the best things I have followed in the last couple of weeks, and it's just awesome.
So, before we get into this MLB stuff, I just want to let the listeners know where everybody's loyalties lie.
Yes.
Hannah is a Braves fan. Do you want to speak on the Braves for a second?
Well, I've been a lifelong Braves fan. I know we're not that great. They roasted me a minute ago because I am a Braves fan. But I'm excited to see what this season has to offer for us. We are not doing that great in spring training, which kind of upsets me a little bit. But that doesn't mean that our regular season's not going to be better.
All right. Of course.
All right, Cooper.
Of course. I am a Tampa Bay Rays fan. Lifelong Rays fan, have family down in Tampa. My first game there was a long, long time ago. Just absolutely loved them, adored them, cried with them, celebrated with them, and still waiting for that first World Series championship. We did make an appearance a couple years ago. Excited that we're finally doing well.
It is going to happen.
It is going to happen, especially with this new expanded playoff, which we will talk about in the coming minutes.
Yeah. For our listeners out there, I am the absolute stereotype of a New York Yankees fan. I am a proud member of the Bleacher Creatures often. So if I get a little heated or very passionate about baseball, especially Yankees baseball, that is why. Any video you've seen online about a passionate Yankee fan, Hubs from Barstool or Frankie Borelli from Barstool you've seen with the Yankee, that's me, okay? So just want to lay that ground rule. So, as we talk about this Astros stuff, it's tough to hold my tongue because I'm not happy.
No one should be happy.
No. It's cheating. Cheating's wrong. I don't like it.
It's cheating, and they punish the wrong people, in my opinion.
Yeah. They're going to punish whoever goes out there on day one. I think they play the Athletics. The Astros do. Some kid's going to, some young kid's going to come out, start the game, throw a beanball to Altuve, and that kid's going to get suspended for like 15 games, which is going to be more than any of the players who cheated.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous. And someone else, please talk. I can't.
This whole situation, I'm not a fan of it at all. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Everyone tries to figure out signs. That's not the problem. The problem is the blatant and obvious, breaking of the rules. It's different when you're maybe standing at second base and you're like, hey, when the pitcher does this, it's fastball.
I mean, you've earned that.
Right.
You got a guy on second.
Right. It's different when you bring technology into the game just because at that point, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and technology is anything. I mean, a team in the 50s got caught for sign stealing when they had a telescope.
Right.
I mean, a telescope is technology. Like, you're just not supposed to do that.
Here's the thing for me. Baseball is making this whole thing kind of swept under the rug. It's not really cheating. People got amnesty. But what I do not think Pete Rose or Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. I will stand by that forever and ever. But if you're those guys, what are you doing now? You're sitting there watching, Jose Altuve, who won the MVP in 2017, wrongfully. And, he's probably going to be sometime on that ballot if nothing's done. So if you're Barry Bonds or Pete Rose, holding those two prestigious titles that they earned, but, you know, cheated to get, what are you saying, you know? Like, what does that show the MLB?
It would make me mad, knowing that I got caught and banned for life. Like Pete Rose, he was banned for life. These guys who are cheating, you know, it's two different scenarios, gambling and sign stealing, two different scenarios, but, I mean, they're still playing.
Right. It's the same thing. I think the worst part is how the commissioner's handling it. First, starting off saying that the World Series trophy is just a piece of metal, which I don't know if either of you know the name of the World Series trophy, but it is called the MLB Commissioner Trophy. So.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that piece of metal in quotation marks. Right. Still waiting. If you're gonna diminish it like that, why even play?
Exactly, because you earn it. It's such a big award at the end of the season for a team.
Not to mention, the commissioner called the commissioner's trophy a piece of metal.
Mm.
It's just diminished your own power. How do you do that?
I don't know. This whole scenario has just been handled wrongfully.
Well, the problem is, what's going to happen is, due to the lack of discipline for the Astros, it's put the players in a very heated and angry state in which, you know, baseball is one of those sports, kind of like hockey, where you are capable to take matters that you don't feel right into your own hands. And I think, you know, something really bad's going to come of that, you know. Juan Carlos Stanton's on the Yankees, and a few years back, he took a very bad fastball to the face, took him out for 2 years. And, I can only see something bad like that happen again, whether that be being hit by a pitch or the insinuating brawl after. It's just not setting up, you know, from a fan perspective, if you're into that kind of stuff, like, it's going to be great for you. But the safety of the players is just, it's not going to be okay, because eventually the Astros are going to try to retaliate. And when that happens, it's going to get really ugly. So I think this whole thing has just been...
And it only takes a misplaced beanball to, you know...
Right, and it only takes a misplaced curveball that you hang on the outside and clip the right... Like, if you're a right-handed pitcher and you lose a curveball, you know, to the right side, and you plunk a... Like, who's to say that Gerrit Cole comes out, right? First game against the Astros for the Yankees, loses a curveball, hits the guy in the first inning, you know, hits Bregman with a curveball in the back, gets ejected from the game. Right? Now that Yankees are playing from behind to cheaters. Like,
mm-hmm.
Or whoever's pitching for the Rays or the Braves against the Astros. Yeah. You know what I mean? The whole thing is helping the Astros more than it's hurting them.
Really is, because none of the players are facing consequences.
Yeah.
So the whole league as itself feels it's their responsibility to give the punishment. And that's what's going to take them out.
One more thing on this before we talk about the playoff expansion and talk about a little lighter stuff. I don't know if either of you saw. I believe it's a pitcher for, I think it was either the Cardinals or the Angels, one of the two. But it's common in baseball when you're warming up to tell the pitcher what you're doing with the glove signs, whether that's, you know, glove down is fastball, glove to the right is curveball, stuff like that. He's actually been doing that before every pitch in spring training. And he's given up 15 home runs or something like that. I just watched a video. They were playing the Dodgers, I think, and Bellinger watched him do the sign and crushed a curveball. And it's like, it just goes to show you, like, I think it's a very mature way to show the league how wrong this was, because it's just such an advantage. So, all right, let's talk about the playoffs for the little time we have left, and that way we're not rambling on about something that's been beaten worse than a dead horse. So, new playoffs. Cooper, why don't you start us off here?
All right, so the new playoff proposal, if you haven't seen it or heard about it so far, is to expand it from 5 teams to 7 teams each in each league. And so your best team in the league, your best division winner, would get a bye week. Or a bye series.
Mm-hmm.
And then your 2 through 4 teams will then pick from the 5 through 7 teams for their first series pick. So just hypothetical, the Astros were to win the AL West. Let's say the Twins win the NL or AL Central because there's nobody in the Central. The Yankees win the AL East, and then your three wildcard or no, your four wildcard teams now.
Right.
Would be like
the Rays.
The Rays, the Red Sox, the Indians.
Well, not the Red Sox because Mookie Betts is gone.
But we're talking about last year.
Right. The Rays, the Indians, the Athletics, and another. And then
another one.
Right. And then in the NL, you know, it would probably be the Dodgers, the Nats, maybe.
Something like that.
The Cards, the Braves, the Giants. I don't know. Regardless
of all the teams.
Right.
Your best team gets a bye.
Right.
And so then your next best team gets to pick who they want. And the third best team gets to pick who they want. And the last two teams are matched up for a three-game series. All at the better team's home.
Right.
I like it. I like expansion of the playoffs. Right now, MLB had the smallest ratio of teams getting into the postseason, 10 out of 30, whereas your NFL was 12 out of 32, and NHL and NBA were all 16 out of 30.
Yeah.
So I like expanding it, getting more teams a chance.
I like the idea, too.
I could take it or leave it, honestly. That it's just based on where you come from, right?
Yes.
So,
background, we have a Yankees fan here who's like, don't give me an extra series to play.
I just personally, because, like, what I'm thinking about is, you know, if the Yankees were to be the first team, I don't like having a bye. I think I don't like it.
I don't particularly like byes either, but.
I think byes in baseball are irrational. I think it hurts people more than it helps people because you're going from playing almost every day. And now you're getting a week off.
But if it takes a bye to get more teams in, and especially coming from the Rays who have won 90 games in back-to-back seasons and missed the playoffs one of those seasons.
I would agree with that.
I like including that. I like including all of your best teams because you will have some 90-win teams who are left out.
No, I can definitely see where this is coming from. I can definitely see who it's helping. I mean, I think it's very unfair that the past few years, the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Rays have had three of the best records in the AL. And same thing with the NL East, honestly, with the Mets, the Braves, and the Nationals. I mean, you know, not a lot of people talk about the Mets and the Braves that much, but they did have two of the best records in the NL and didn't make the postseason last year. You know, it was the Braves did make the postseason last year, didn't they?
They did.
The Braves, they did. They lost to St. Louis.
But the Mets make that late season run and they don't get in. Now, not to say that anyone who did get in shouldn't have got in, but the Mets with this new playoff series would have been the seventh seed, and
they would have been.
You know, they would have been able to go because they did have a good record. You know, so.
They will have played the Dodgers for three games in L.A., probably.
Not that I will ever defend the Mets, ever. But, you know, they did get the short end of the stick. And I think if this comes in, I think it's going to be interesting. I think the whole picking thing is really weird.
It's weird, but it may benefit some others later in the season. Like, regularly, if we're talking last year, the Yankees would have regularly been matched up with the Indians because they would have been the two, and Cleveland would have been the seven. But New York would have their choice of Tampa, Cleveland, and Boston.
Was it Tampa, Cleveland? I thought it was the Twins won their division.
Twins won their division, right. And the Athletics would have been that fourth spot.
Team,
so they would have get to pick, even though they would have pick of one team.
We would have played the Rays and had Gary Sanchez absolutely crush the Rays.
Yes, New York would have chosen the Rays to advance their cause.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a Rays fan, I'd be mad at that, but I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I think this is going to be good for baseball for sure. So, all right, folks. Well, that's it for the Right Field Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Mraz.
I'm Hannah Hammonds.
I'm Cooper Ruske.
We're going to be back next week to talk a little bit more about Alabama baseball and any other news we got going on in the MLB. Hopefully we're undefeated still. Thanks for listening. And come back next week.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.